It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. So all this year, we have paid homage to Southern food. It is now time to talk about the beverages that accompany those meals. The stories behind Southern cocktails are told in a new book, The Southern Foodways Alliance Guide to Cocktails. And here to talk about it is Sarah Camp Milam, Managing Editor for the Southern Foodways Alliance. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And also with us is Sarah's co-author, Jerry Slater. He's owner of the soon-to-open Athens-based restaurant and bar called The Expat, and also teaches mixology classes, right?
Yes, good to be here.
It's good to have you with us. So I wanted to actually start out by playing you a clip of what's known as the whiskey speech, and this is something that you guys wrote about in the book.
This is great.
Yeah, okay. So in the 1950s, the Mississippi House of Representatives were debating whether they should end prohibition. And in 1952, a young lawmaker who is known as Soggy Sweat delivered this now infamous speech. And here's a portion of that speech actually being recited by the author, John Grisham.
If you mean that drink, the sale of which pours into our treasuries untold millions of dollars, which are used to provide tender care for our crippled little children, our blind, our deaf, our dumb, our pitiful and aged and infirm, to build highways and hospitals and schools, then certainly I am for it. This is my stand. I will not retreat from it. I will not compromise.
So, Sarah, what does the whiskey speech tell us about the Southern attitude toward drink?
Well, it really exemplifies the push and pull in of drinking alcohol in Southern culture. There's rejecting it on one side and embracing it on the other. It's religious, it's political, it's cultural. And we talk about this a little bit early in the book, but the South certainly has a conflicted relationship with alcohol. And I just love the Soggy Sweat speech is very colorful, and even more so. That was John Grisham reading it at the Oxford conference for the book several years ago.
Yeah. So Jerry, I mean, is there an objective way to judge a good cocktail? I mean, since tastes are so varied, how do you say this is a good drink versus this is not?
Well, in most drinks, I like balance. But a couple of guiding questions. I think when I go to ask someone what they would like me to make them, first of all, what do they like to drink? And then, all those suggestions are welcome. And so we find out what they like, and then find a cocktail that might be balanced and, not too sweet, not too boozy. Everything's integrated.
So we asked that question, what do you like to drink, at the Silver Skillet next door, a Southern diner if ever there were one. And here's what people said.
Well, I love an old-fashioned, because I love the bourbon. And it's a very smooth drink and one that I enjoy in the evening. My wife loves a Cosmopolitan.
Hot toddies are always a big one. My roommate and I used to drink them, on cold nights, like recently.
I prefer red wine. Actually, any wine. I like white wines, too.
I would say bourbon straight up on the rocks.
So, Sarah, bourbon is a Southern liquor, is it not? That's fair?
It is. That's fair to say. It's named after Bourbon County, Kentucky, which originally was a much larger part of Kentucky than it is now. The original Bourbon County was a good chunk of the state back when Kentucky became a state. So, yes. And in fact, we consulted with 21 bartenders from Washington, D.C. to Austin, Texas to gather the recipes for this book. And we learned quickly that when you ask bartenders for Southern recipes, the majority of them are going to give you brown liquor-based drinks, especially bourbon and rye.
What do you think of, Jerry, as sort of a quintessential Southern drink? Is it like a mint julep?
Yeah, and the mint julep is fascinating, too, because, by most accounts, it might have originated here in Georgia. It wasn't bourbon initially. It was more like peach brandy. And when we say peach brandy, yeah, not like the liqueurs that we have today, but probably more like a French Calvados, but made from peaches, aged in a barrel, sort of a boozy dark liquor. Sarah's got a great article in the book on ice and its origins and, what is now sort of Southern West Virginia and, that was the fun part about the book is that all of these historical, we have great cocktails. We have 88 cocktails recipes in there, but all of the historical fun facts. You know, I think we provided you with cocktail party rhetoric as well.
Yeah, there are a lot of in there. And Sarah, I wonder if there is a particular fact you uncovered that you like.
Yeah, Jerry mentions there's an essay about ice and how that transformed, you know, the world of cocktails. And the first person to commercially make ice, so, you know, it was originally harvested from ponds in New England and packed in a lot of sawdust and shipped to you know, far-flung southern places where ice wasn't able to be made naturally. But the first person to make it artificially or you know, make ice in a warm region was a doctor in Apalachicola, Florida, who was trying to cure fevers. So that was one fact that was really interesting.
That is interesting that it was a medical purpose first, but quickly used to cool drinks.
Exactly.
One of those other medical purposes, the Sazerac cocktail, which, you know, we think of as a Southern cocktail, was created by cooperation between a coffee house owner and a pharmacist, Antoine Peychaud.
In New Orleans.
Yeah.
And has since become a really, truly quintessential. We have a minute left, Jerry. Do you want to tell me a fact that maybe you didn't know before that you particularly liked?
Oh,
enjoyed writing about?
One of the ones that was really fascinating to us, you know, even though my family's from West Virginia, I grew up in the Midwest, and I thought of the grasshopper as a kind of ice cream drink.
Yeah.
And it actually was created in New Orleans, and it's just a shaken, creamy drink created at Two Jacques, where they still serve them 150-plus years later.
That's interesting. I didn't read that one.
Yeah, and so it's been, you know, that was one of the surprises we saw when we polled folks and said, you know, what do you think of as a Southern drink? That came up.
So you're not going to make the, are you going to make the grasshopper without the ice cream now?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. Jerry Slater and Sarah Camp Milam, they're authors of the new book, The Southern Foodways Alliance Guide to Cocktails. Dozens of great cocktail recipes in there. You'll speak tonight at 7 o'clock at the Atlanta History Center. Sarah and Jerry, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.